Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to be back. I've been away quite a bit the last month or so it's good to be back with family and broader family today. If I can ask you guys just to start the slideshow. So today we're going to be continuing with this idea of practicing the way. And anyone here for the first time today? Anyone here for the first time? No one here for the first time. Okay, so you would have probably got the intro from Tony last week. But the idea with practicing the way is that we want to become these people that are apprentices of Jesus. We don't just want to come and learn what the Bible says. We want to be people that start doing that. And to allow that to happen, it means spending time with Jesus. We've got to get to know who is Jesus. What does he want to say to us? And then it's this process, this lifelong process of becoming like Jesus. We'll agree that's growing our relationship with him. He changes us to be different from the way we were before. And that's a lifelong journey. But ultimately, we want to be people that do the kind of things that Jesus did, right? To make a difference to the world around us. So that's what it means to be apprentices of Jesus. And today, we're going to be continuing with the fasting practice. As Tony would have said last week, there are a number of practices that over the next few years we're going to be going through with the idea that we start doing things practically that draw us closer to Jesus in our walk with him. Thanks, Nick. So this is going to be our final of four in this series about fasting. And so we started off with the first one was offering ourselves to Jesus. And I think that's quite a logical one. It's about showing that we're willing to surrender in some small way and to ask Jesus to really work in our hearts. The second one was this idea of growing in holiness. And I think that's what we all want to do. We all have things in our lives that we struggle with. And what is presented to us is that fasting can be such a powerful way to allow God to start setting us free from sins that hold us back. Okay, so as we fast, we essentially are taking our physical body and doing something that's hard and asking God to transform the hard things, things that are hard to transform inside of us as well. And then Tony spoke last week about how fasting can amplify our prayers or just make our prayers more impactful. And I was listening to that again last night. And what really just stood out for me is this idea that it increases our ability to hear God. We all want to hear God, right? We all want to know, what is it, Lord, that you want me to do this week? What is it that you want me to do with my career? What is it that I should be doing with my family? So fasting can allow us to hear God, but it can also allow us to be heard by God more. It's almost like God responds to us doing something sacrificial because we're wanting to draw close to him. Okay, so today we're going to be going on to the fourth aspect of fasting that you may have not considered before. I got to say, I hadn't actually really considered this before. And it's using fasting as an opportunity to stand with and bless those in need. Okay. And you'll see what that looks like as we go through the preach today. All right, if we can go to the next one, Nick. All right, so before you get bored of my voice, we're going to be gathering around your tables, and we're going to have a chance to reflect. I'm hoping that some of you guys have fasted in the last 3 weeks and given it a go. It's okay if you haven't, but hopefully some of you guys have given it a chance. And I think the opportunity here is just to have a bit of reflection and share a little bit of this journey ahead and say, this is just hard and I haven't felt anything, and that's okay. So don't feel you've got to have a big story, each of you. Okay, and it's okay if you haven't tried fasting, that's also fine. But I think if there's someone in your group that actually says, you know, this has been really impactful, won't you share that? And I would like, we're going to take about 5 minutes, and can you, as in your small group, work through these three questions? The first one is, did you sense God's voice this last week in any way, or the last 3 weeks as you fasted? Did you sense God's voice in any small way? And what one thing were you specifically praying for? That's one of the things we were encouraged to do, is to pray as we fast. And then how are you feeling 3 weeks into this new practice? Are you like, I've got this, this is like embedded in my life, or is it like, flip, I don't know if I'm going to do this again? What does it look like in practice? Okay, so hopefully I'm going to hear some discussions. Got like 5 minutes to do that. And if you had a table by yourself, join in another table and have some chat. All right. It sounds like from the discussion, some of you have been doing this practice. Either that or you're already planning the afternoon. Hopefully it was the former, hey? Okay, so I'm just going to ask Marcel just to share a little bit about his experience, and then we'll carry on from there. Thanks, Marcel.
Thanks, Doug. Just a short testimony on the fasting. A couple of weeks before Tony started with the first session, I'd sort of had it on my heart, been thinking quite a bit about, you know, how do we in our just normal day-to-day life actually walk in a way that's closer to God, or how do we, in a world where we've pretty much got everything that we need, realize that we truly do need God in our just normal lives. And then Tony started on the fasting, and it answered a lot of questions for me, and I thought, well, let me give this a shot. And I figured every Tuesday was the easiest day for me, so I did it every Tuesday. I did skip one Tuesday, though. It was Carolyn's birthday. But it was incredible. It was an amazing experience in that you go about your normal day-to-day life and you suddenly have this little bit of hunger, and it makes you realize, let me spend this time praying or meditating on his word. Instead of sitting down, eating lunch, have a time of, I was working through that book and just reading through some scriptures. And yeah, it was incredible. One Tuesday every week, spending the time fasting. So yeah, I'd really encourage you all to give it a shot if you haven't. It has been worth it.
Thanks, Marcel. All right, so we're going to get into this morning's teaching. So Nick, if we can get on to the next one. And as I've said, this is the fourth in the series, and today it's the idea that fasting is an opportunity to stand with the poor. Okay, and so before getting into the teaching on fasting, I think it's good just to be reminded about the context that we live in, and I'm sure with the elections going on, we've all been reminded a lot by our politicians what's wrong with our country and maybe what needs to be done. But I just want to go through some stats with you quickly anyway, just to set the scene. All right, so this is a little graphic that shows this question about equality in South Africa. And some of you might know the Gini coefficient. It's a way of measuring a country's level of equality. If you get a Gini coefficient of 0, it means everyone's equal. And if it's 100, it means like it's the maximum lack of equality, as it were. But it's interesting that in all the countries in the world, South Africa is still the least equal of any country in the entire planet. And obviously that links back to our history, right? But it's unfortunate that we still are in that place. And in some ways that lands up continuing to grow. So we are in a situation where there are unfortunately lots and lots of people that are very poor and very few people that have lots of resources. And that inequality, I'm sure, is not something that pleases God. God loves every single person the same. If we go on to the next one, Nick. Thanks. So here's some more stats about wealth distribution. So the first little pie there shows that 10% of the population continues to earn more than 50% of household income in the country. So that's quite startling, hey, that you can see how much income goes to such a small group. And the poorest 40% of the population accounts for less than 7% of income. And, you know, the reality is that living in Hilton, most of us are probably certainly not in those lower two tiers. Some of us maybe, but I think in many ways we are very blessed. Certainly a lot of us living in Hilton are very blessed with what we have. And I think it's good to remind ourselves where we maybe are compared with those people around us. And just look at the last one. It says the poorest 20%, so 2 out of 10 South Africans, live for less than 1.5% of the income. So it's quite a startling figures to know that South Africa looks like this in practice. And it just emphasizes this thing of the poor around us is something we don't often see, or we just look over it. It's very easy to look over it to ourselves. And it just I want to show it because it says something about... Next one, Nick, thanks. And this is the final stat I want to show. And it just I want to show it because it says something about KZN. You can see for South Africa, in terms of poverty levels, 50% of people are regarded as being in poverty. And that means 50% of people don't have enough money to meet the basic needs of food, clothing, and shelter. 49%. And then if you look at KZN, who's coming number four there, it's one of the highest. We live in one of the provinces where this issue is worse almost than anywhere else. And what that means in practice is that for a person to be classified like that, they're living with around 1,100 rand or less per person per month. So that's what you need to get by in South Africa. So quite a startling figure. And I think it's important when we're thinking about this practice of fasting and how it can influence the poor, how we as people can influence the poor, it's interesting, it's important to understand where we are as a country as opposed to America or Sweden and some of these other areas where the context is just very, very different. Okay, Nick, thank you. All right, so we've heard politicians making promises to South Africa of making South Africa better, right, these last few weeks. They've written manifestos. Have some of you guys read their manifestos? Long list of promises, how they're going to make things better, right? Why are they the best person to make the country better? And I think the reality is that governments are central to making a difference in any country, right? And their policies, the way they manage those resources is critical. But the question for us is there a practice from the way of Jesus for this church to stand in the face of this disparity and to have to make some contribution to this context that we live in? And over the past three sessions, we've explored the power of fasting really for personal transformation, right? It's about what can fasting do for my relationship with God? And that's good. We all want to have a strengthened relationship with God. But today we'll be shifting from the internal to the external, and with the idea of looking at the power of fasting for community transformation. So how can fasting help us to make a difference to the poor around us? And you might be surprised to know that throughout history, fasting was one of the main practices adopted by the church to move towards the hungry and the poor. And it's probably, I think, as you would have seen, most of us haven't done much of fasting. It's quite strange, but in our modern era, fasting is not something that we've grown up with. But in the past past centuries of the church, fasting was really central, and it was also a central way for people to see the poor around them and to make a difference in the communities that they lived in. 58, I will be showing it on the screen. A passage of scripture in Isaiah 58, I will be showing it on the screen, but you're welcome to go to your Bibles there as well. And it really has just such an amazing, there's an amazing richness in terms of what it has to say about fasting and the poor. So let's see what the author has to say. All right, so we're going to be starting out with Isaiah 58, verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? So this is the Israelites, and they basically, what are they doing? They're grumbling. They were quite good at grumbling, if I recall. But they're asking Isaiah why they're fasting, but it doesn't seem to be working, right? So they're saying, we're fasting, but like, what's going on? What's the purpose of this? Why is God not hearing our prayers? And let's listen to God's reply. Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord?" So God is saying here that it's more, fasting is more than just bowing one's head like a reed and just coming before the Lord. It's more than that. Let's keep reading. "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood?" So you can see here the motivation for the kind of fasting that Isaiah is talking about here is to loose the chains of injustice. It's different. It's not an internal thing, right? It's talking about having an impact on society. It's about freeing people from oppression. It's about sharing food with the hungry. It's about providing shelter to refugees or immigrants and those with no home. It's about clothing the naked. These are real practical outworkings. It's not an internal thing. It's about fasting leading to something in our society. And if you practice this kind of fasting, listen to what will happen as we keep reading from verse 8. And I'm sure all of us would love to see this in our lives and in our community. "Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Go before healing will quicken. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression and with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday." I don't know if any of you guys had read these verses before, but certainly I'd never seen in Isaiah this link between fasting and making an impact with the poor. And it really just shows that this kind of fasting, it ushers in God's blessing. Like, these are all things that we would love. We would love our light to break forth like the dawn. We would love people to see Christ in us and making a difference in the world around us. This kind of fasting is not just about drawing closer to God. It's about making an impact in the world around us. And I think the truth is that God wants us to make a difference, right? He wants His church to be this light, not just a holy huddle, as it were. He wants us to make a difference to the people around us. Nick, if we can move on to the next one. Okay, so this is a saying from a man who lived a long time ago. His name was St. Augustine, and I was wondering who this oak is, and so I did a little bit of Googling, and apparently he was a bishop from the 4th century, so he would have been quite old now. But scholars argue that he was the most significant Christian writer after Paul. So he was a very influential man in his time. I got to say, I haven't read his teachings, but this was one of the messages that was highlighted in the teachings that in the guidance that we're getting from Practicing the Way. And let's read this together. "Break your bread for those who are hungry," said Isaiah. So he's talking about the verses we've just read. "Break your bread for those who are hungry," said Isaiah. "Do not believe that fasting suffices. Fasting chastises you, but it does not refresh the other. Do you wish your prayer to reach God? Give it two wings, fasting and almsgiving." And I just love the way it ends there. Give prayer two wings, fasting and almsgiving. And it's just this, because all of us pray, right? All of us are praying for things in our lives as well and praying for the communities around us. And this idea that fasting can give prayer wings, but not just fasting alone, fasting and this thing's called almsgiving. Where's Josh? Josh, what is almsgiving? Come on. Philip, do you know what almsgiving is? Have you given away an arm? You haven't. So you're going to be walking away from here saying, what was I talking about, eh? Okay, let's go a little bit older. If the oldies don't get it right, I'll come back to you, okay? Who's the oldies? I kind of will, the older young group, eh? Almsgiving. Are you guys familiar with that term? Okay, what is it, any one of you? Okay, serving, giving to the poor. So some of them know what these words are, guys. Okay, so there's something to learn here. Okay, so really what it is it effectively means works of mercy. Okay, that might also be a little bit old-fashioned, but it's about acts of generosity, being generous. It's about service, and it's about justice. Okay, all things that we need really badly in South Africa today. And I got to say, in preparing, it reminded me of some words that I've read in James. And it's James chapter 1. It says this: pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. And I think that's so true, that actually following Jesus is more than God at work in us. It's God at work through us. And this is just a reminder of that. But I think a beautiful thing about this as well is, as much as we are, this also is saying that as we pray, by fasting as we pray, and using the opportunity to also give, this idea that it can give prayer wings, it's like it can add an extra element of strength to our prayers, both for ourselves and for others, is quite amazing. So I like that. So I think the reality is that a true relationship with God, one that's authentic and one that is growing, is one that starts in our hearts, right? It starts in our hearts, we get to know Jesus, but then it never stops there. The idea is that it starts to transform us, and through that, we start impacting the people around us. We care, we start caring for other people. We start doing things for other people because we love them and want to show God's love to them as well. All right, so let's get a bit practical here. There was another old oak, this guy even older, from the first century. So, and there was a lot of guidance. I think, you know, we have the Bible all nicely packaged nowadays. In the early church, it wasn't packaged quite so neatly. And they would have, you know, the young church would have got letters from Paul and others, and they would have used that. But they were also at a stage where they were trying to figure out, what does it look like to follow Jesus? And one of the early teachings or kind of consolidated works was this work called The Shepherd of Hermas. And it was used by many Christians of the time to guide their conduct. And it had this guidance for Christians to practically work out when they fasted. Okay, so this was their suggestion. In 100 AD, fasted. And give that amount of the food you would have eaten on the day that you would have fasted, and give that amount to a widow or orphan or someone in need. Be humble in this way, that the one who receives something because of your humility may fill his soul and pray to the Lord for you. And I think that's a real practical guidance, right? And I heard that these teachings actually nearly became part of the canon, which is what we now see in the Bible. So it was a very influential piece of scripture at the time. And so this is the kind of guidance that was in that time. Like, let's make this thing practical. So what does it mean to fast and to give to the poor? Why not take the money that you would have used to buy your own food on one day in a week, or that one day you decide to fast, and give it practically to someone? And, you know, just thinking about that, I mean, imagine there are probably maybe 100 of us here in the room, maybe not quite that many, but imagine if this next week there are 100 acts of kindness for people that need a helping hand in the week ahead. That could make a difference, right? I mean, imagine if that happened every week of the year. That's like would be over 5,000 acts of kindness that the church does. That's just doing something kind once a week. So I think this is a real practical thing that we can maybe look to do. And so I really would encourage you guys to fast this week and to try and be generous And just use it as an opportunity to bless the people around you. Okay. So being generous is a central aspect of being an apprentice of Jesus. I think we all know that. And we see this in many places of Scripture, including 1 John 3:16 to 18. So I just want to read that as the last scripture for today. And this is what it has to say. This is how we know what love is. And Tony was speaking about this in communion earlier. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So I think it's just a reminder for us that actually being followers of Jesus means being practical in loving those around us. And really, that's Jesus' heart, is to love us, but for us to love others as well. So some ideas for the coming week, I think, as I said, if you can consider just that little bit of money that you would have spent on your breakfast and lunch, look to give that to someone. If it could be someone on the street. It could be someone that you know that just has a need. If you like, you could make a meal and you could bring it to them. I'm sure there are lots of opportunities that the church bank for when people need something, we can give it to them. I'm sure there are lots of opportunities that you know of. Maybe there's a charity that you'd like to support that supports people in our community. But let's really do that this coming week. And I just love the reality is that it could be transformative. I mean, it could transform 100 people's lives in some small way this coming week. And wouldn't that be amazing to hear some testimonies of that, about just how giving could make an impact on the people around us. All right, so let's move into, just to clarify, some expectations for the week ahead. And I really would challenge each of you guys, as this is our last session on this practice of fasting, I really would encourage you, if you haven't tried fasting yet, won't you do it this week and let God speak to you? So what I'd like you to do, or encourage you to do, is to pick a day that works for you. Consider Wednesday or Friday. I see Marcel's gone with Tuesday. That's all good. Doesn't matter exactly which day. I know quite a few of us are using Wednesday or Friday. And then fast until sundown that day. Okay. So what it means to fast is to, I mean, you can fast in different ways, but normally you just have water. It's missing out two meals. I know for some of you guys that are at school and have got lots of exercise and stuff, but maybe you can just miss out the breakfast, for example. It doesn't have to be a whole day. And the idea is just to start small. If you haven't done this before, just maybe skip one meal and see what that's like. Okay, and then in the time that you would normally be shopping or preparing food or enjoying eating your meal, use that to give yourself to prayer. And Marcel was just saying, as that hunger pain comes in there, it does just remind you that I'm hungry, but it's a trigger to pray. And I think so, I'd encourage you to do that. And then a challenge for each of us is calculate the money you would have spent on breakfast and lunch and share it with the needy this week. Let's see if we can have 100 acts of kindness to the poor in our community this week. And let's see how God uses that to start transforming our community. Okay, so that's it for today. I'm going to, if we can close in prayer. All right. Jesus, just thank you so much that you love us and that there are really practical ways that you show us how we can follow you. And Lord, thank you for the teaching over these past 4 weeks about fasting. I know some of us have already started to appreciate the way that our fasting can draw us closer to you. And Lord, we all want to draw closer to you. We want to hear you. We want to experience you at work in our lives. But Lord, as a church too, we don't just want to be inward looking. We really want to be outward looking, Lord. We want to see people benefiting from through the small, and we want to see people weak to be kind to someone in need. And please, won't you help us to do that? And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would prompt us around what it looks like, who it looks like, who do we give to? And Lord, may these little acts of kindness reap real spiritual rewards. In Jesus' name, amen.